Hello, everybody. Great to see you again. Let me just share my screen so you can see my slideshow and we will begin. Greg, one second. Okay, so a brief review. I see some new faces, which I greatly appreciate. Thank you for joining. But we are in the middle of a pretty involved discussion, which I will summarize in just a few minutes. But let's jump right in. So we have been learning a piece from the Rambam, and we're just going to jump right in here, where the Rambam made this very bold claim. His bold claim is that the entire purpose of the universe, or at least the world as we know it, is for a particular type of person. This is a person who can achieve the highest intellectual understanding of God and the world, and a person who is perfect in terms of their character traits, such that they regulate everything that they do toward the goal of attaining the highest truths. That is the purpose of the entire world. It's the purpose of all the plants and all the animals and everything that exists and all the people. It's all there for these unique individuals who can achieve this sort of intellectual perfection supported by their character traits and all of their pursuits. So then this raises the elephant in the room, which is what the Rambam is very aware of, where the Rambam asks, hey, wait a second. You know, there aren't that many people who actually fit that description. In fact, most people aren't particularly intellectually sophisticated. They whittle away all their time. I mean, look around today. There are all sorts of people who don't seem to be particularly interested in the truth about God. So then, why did God create all of them? It seems a bit strange that the entirety of humankind, you know, billions of people, would be all created for the select few. But the Rambam argues, indeed, no, that is the case. They were all created for the select few. Why the necessity for all those other sorts of people? The Rambam gives two different answers. Answer number one is because, look, if the philosopher who had to spend all sorts of time farming and cultivating and harvesting and constructing buildings and roads and all that sort of, and all these sort of menial tasks, which the Rambam goes at length saying can't be the purpose of our lives. They're meaningless. A person could go their whole life pursuing wealth from one ocean to another. And at the end of the day, when they have all of it, how much time do they actually have to enjoy it? But we need such people so that those who are fit for achieving this sort of perfection can spend their time doing that so that everybody else can go and run the state and run the country. So that's purpose number one for everybody's existence. They're all there to sort of do the laundry, as it were, while the people who are really the purpose can spend time really studying and contemplating and learning. That's answer one. And then here we have answer number two. Says the Rambam, the other purpose of existence of one who has no wisdom. There are very few people who are truly wise. That's just the way it is, based on divine wisdom. That's what God dictated. Don't ask why. Why didn't God create everybody brilliant? Because it's just not a good question. Just like one cannot ask why there are nine spheres and seven planets and four fundamental elements. You ask me, there aren't nine spheres and seven planets and four fundamental elements. Well, listen, the Rambam lived a long time ago, and that was what Aristotelian metaphysics dictated. So that's what he believed. The point is, don't ask me why there are so many planets and so many stars. That's just the way God wanted it. We don't understand. But that's the way it is. There aren't so many wise people out there. That's what it needed to be. That's the way it is. So there are only so many wise people. And the sages. And now, as we noted, the Rambam does not quote too much Tanakh for his whole presentation here. He quotes a select few statements from the Talmud, which he argues support his theory. So he says, the wise men said this themselves. Shimon Bar Yochai said about his generation, if you're familiar with the Tana, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we hear about him a lot, but Omer, he's the one that went into the cave. He's the one that learned Torah day and night. He spoke about the Romans. He had to run away. So he said once as follows. He said about his generation, even though there were many people in Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's generation who were very honorable, Nevertheless, he said, Ra'iti b'nei aliyah, I have seen b'nei aliyah, the sons of ascent, people who are true, pious individuals. V'heim mu'atim, and they are few. There are very few of them. Im shnayim heim, if there are only two, aniv v'nihim, it's me and my son. If there's two b'nei aliyah in the whole world, it's me and my son. And that's what is he saying? Why did God create so many people? Because it would be very lonely. Could you imagine being in this big, huge world and you're the only few wise people that exist? You wouldn't have any company. That would be quite lonely, says the Rambam. So there's all these other people to keep the few who are wise company, to give them companionship. And that's what he says, and he quotes something we saw before. This is what the sages explained as well. And here the Rambam is really doing some selective quoting, because if you remember last week, we learned this Gemara. Here's what the Gemara says in Brachot. My kizeh kol adam. In Kohelet, when it says, this is all of humanity, what does it mean? Kol ha'olam lo nivra el etzavot lezeh. The whole entire world was created to join with this one. What does that mean? Says the Rambam. Pirish lahasar itzvono v'shimamon yachiduto. To remove the feeling of loneliness and sadness of the wise person. It's so lonely. So Hashem created all these people to keep them company. It's so wonderful, isn't it? I will just point out, if you remember, does anybody know the last pasuk in Kohelet? Does it talk about wise people? Anybody know whom it's talking about? What is the purpose of Adam? Sof davar kol nishma et halokim yira, fear God, ve'en mitzvoshav shemor, and observe his commandments. So what sort of person are we talking about here? In this Gemara, based on this pasuk, someone who's wise, or someone who fears God and observes their commandments? Somehow the Rambam quoted this Gemara talking about the fear of God, talking about religious piety, and interpreted it to mean that everybody else is created to keep the wise person company. Now, I don't think the Rambam thinks, I think the Rambam legitimately thought well, that's what the Gemara meant because of his orientation. That's what he felt was the true path in life. But it's worth noting, not necessarily what the Gemara is actually saying. Okay. And he says, Vim Kane, Nidba'er, it's now clear, very clear as day. We call Asher Amarnu, from everything we said, Shaha Kavana, that the intention, Bivriat Kol Ma Sheyesh B'toch HaOlam HaOvevan Usad, the creation of everything in this temporary, fleeting world is, Eno Ella, is only Ish Shalem Kolel HaChachma V'amaseh. It is only for the complete person who includes both wisdom and deed. And we'll elaborate again on what sort of deed he's talking about in a bit, as we saw earlier. When you think about this and learn from their words, these two ideas, Ratzlam Har Chochma, wisdom, Bahama'aseh, and action, Me'asher be'aru v'ramzu, as we have clarified and hinted to, Teda, now you will understand. Ki'al nachan amru. It was correct when the sages said, She'ein lo la'akadosh baruch hu ba'olamo ela arba amot shalacha. That's what the sages meant when they said, all Hashem has in his world is the four cubits of the halacha. That's what they meant. They meant everything that we've been learning about for the last three sessions. That's what the Gemara means. The four cubits of halacha means the entire world was created for that complete person, complete in action and in wisdom. Isn't it clear from that Gemara? So, so clear. As you pointed out, that is not the simple explanation of that Gemara whatsoever. The simple explanation of that Gemara is it's simply pointing out, as we saw some from other Rishonim, how important it is to learn halacha. It's important to learn how to actually apply the Torah and to observe the mitzvot. That's the simple explanation of the Gemara. The Rambam understood based on this, and he built an entire philosophical construct of what it means to live in this world, what the purpose of everything is, based on this simple line about the fact that God greatly desires places in which people are engaged in the study of law and practical application in life. So now what I want to do is I want to review everything we've seen in the last few sessions, sort of shortly summarize what the Rambam has said. I want to explore what I think are a few ramifications from this idea, this the most fundamental idea. Rambam isn't simply giving us some sort of insight. He's telling us the purpose of everything, of all human life, of all creation. So I want to sort of summarize what we've seen from the Rambam, and I want to show how this impacts a number of different areas in the Rambam's thought and in practical living. And this is not exhaustive. It's certainly present in many different places. We're not going to cover all of them. I don't necessarily know all of them, but let's cover a few. Here's a sort of my summary of what we've read until now. Says the Rambam, every creation has a purpose. The purpose of all the other creations is to serve humankind. That was what we saw just a few weeks ago. The Rambam says the purpose of trees and plants and animals and all of those things is for humankind. If you ask, but what about such and such a creation? Doesn't seem to have any utility. Says the Rambam, that's because you don't understand the purpose of it. But if you really did understand the purpose of it, it would be there to benefit humankind. We pointed out that that's not necessarily so based on other Jewish sources. Some do indicate that that's so. Some indicate that everything has a dual purpose for its own good and to help humankind. The Rambam himself and the God of the Perplexed rejects this notion and says, don't you dare say that anything was created for humankind. The Rambam and the guide argues that everything was created for its own purpose. But this is what the Rambam says here in the introduction to the Mishnah. That's the purpose of other creations. What's the purpose of humankind? The ultimate purpose of humankind is to arrive at the most complete knowledge of God attainable by the human mind. That is the greatest truth, the greatest knowledge is to truly know God as best as the human mind can perceive him. And all other knowledge, the Rambam says, is preparatory, is to prepare a person for that ultimate knowledge. But the question then is, so what about all these things that we have to do? What do they have to do with knowledge of God? Why do we shake branches on Sukkot? Why do we drink wine on Shabbat? What does that have to do with the knowledge of God? Well, the Rambam doesn't, in this piece, explicitly address that question, but what he does say is that knowledge, intellectual knowledge, is not enough, because that's the part where he says perfect indeed, in terms of one's actions, that a person's actions, in order to truly achieve perfection, need to be solely directed to this ultimate goal. That to the degree a person is steeped in physicality, if a person pursues physical pleasure and material wealth in this world, they cannot be called a complete person, because material and intellectual pursuits are diametrically opposed. And says the Rambam, to the degree that a person has achieved wisdom, they're unlocking their human potential. But one who forsakes wisdom in pursuit of material pleasure is more like an animal. That's what animals do. Animals seek food. Animals seek physical pleasure, comfort. Humans don't do that, says the Rambam. If that is what you are doing, you are more like an animal than a human. And therefore, says the Rambam, both are necessary. The purpose of all creation is the person who is complete in the perception of all truth a human can attain, and in their actions, someone who is no longer controlled by their more base urges, someone who has control of their temptations. Either if you lack, either you're incomplete. If you lack knowledge, if you retain knowledge, if you're very bright, if you're a very philosophically advanced person but you're still running after the next thrill, that is not a true wise man. Similarly, one who is very pious, one who has great character traits, but lacks wisdom is also incomplete. Oh, the Rambam says, better to lack wisdom than to lack decency and the appropriate character traits. If so, asks the Rambam, what is the purpose of all the people who lack the intellectual capabilities to pursue the highest wisdom? Well, answer number one, because without them, the perfect person would not, or at least the complete person, would not be able to dedicate their time toward the ultimate pursuit of truth. And therefore, we need other people there to essentially run a society so that those who are fit for the pursuit of truth can dedicate their time to doing so. And number two, look, it's lonely out there. It wouldn't be so great to have a world with just a few people in it. That would be so lonely. So there's all sorts of other people to keep them company so that they don't feel alone and isolated. And I think it's a basic argument. Humans are social beings. We need to socialize. We need to converse. We need to have relationships. It's just part of human nature. So there needs to be a lot of people so that all those relationships can be forged, even if not all those people are really there to achieve the truth. And that says that is what the Gemara means when it says all Hashem has in this world is the four cubits of halacha. That is the summary, my summary of this Rambam. So before we go further, any impressions? What impressions do you have? Let's talk about this for a few minutes. What strikes you about the Rambam? What bothers you? What do you think about this Rambam? What stands out to you about it? Go for it, Paul.
Question, is wisdom defined in all sorts of disciplines, or are you talking about a restrictive definition of the word wisdom?
The Rambam, so it's a great question, and I don't think he's so clear in this. What I would say is as follows. As we'll see, the Rambam is very expansive about wisdom. The Rambam, in his Yad HaChazakah, in his Mishneh Torah, which ostensibly is a halachic sefer, describes his physics and metaphysics, how the world works, the planets, what each person is composed of. He describes how each being in the world is composed of, form, matter. I'm forgetting the word. Homer and Sura, what would you say? Matter and form. That's sort of the Aristotelian concept. And he describes the planets, and he talks about God and how we can prove God. So the Rambam certainly believed in learning science and learning philosophy and learning metaphysics and learning physics and learning and trying to discern the truth. That being said,
he and his son are the only ones who have achieved that.
Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. That was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Sorry, I went a little quick there. He's quoting a Gemara where Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, it's quite an extreme statement, but Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is not quite as extreme as the Rambam takes him to be. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says as follows. There are only a certain amount of B'nai Aliyah in the world. He doesn't define B'nai Aliyah as wise people. He defines B'nai Aliyah means people who ascend, who are at a high level. But he says there are only a certain amount in the world, and if there are two, it would be you and I. So what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is saying is that me and my son have reached a level no one else has reached. He's not saying that the whole entire world is only created for me and my son. That's sort of the Rambam's take on it. But to your question about, I think the term wisdom is very broad, but he thinks that the ultimate wisdom is understanding of God himself as much as we can understand him, right? So it is on the one hand broad, but it also is at the same time leading to a pretty restrictive goal. Not restrictive in the sort of things you can study. The Rambam wants to attain all knowledge, but the purpose of all knowledge is to arrive at that ultimate knowledge. Yeah? Yes, Charlie, do you want to add something?
I just have a question here about four cubits. Where does the number four come from?
The Rambam doesn't really tell us about that. Four cubits of halacha, four cubits is an important thing in halacha. It sort of means a person's personal space. Now, you know what? There's a bigger question. There's another question in the Rambam here, where the Gemara actually said that the Gemara's actual statement was, now that the Beit HaMikdash, the temple, has been destroyed, the only place that God has in this world is the four cubits of halacha. So on a simple level, what the Gemara is saying is without a temple, which was a physical place where it was dedicated to God, divine worship, where one could quote unquote be in the proximity of the divine presence, now the way to worship God is through study. That's what the Gemara really seems to be saying here. But the Rambam leaves out of the part about the temple. The Rambam only quotes the end. And the Rambam takes halacha, which traditionally certainly would be understood to mean Jewish law. And he expands that to all wisdom, specifically the understanding of God. And he says that's the purpose of everything, right? So what I think we do see from the Rambam clearly is 2 points. Number one, he has a very clear tendency to sort of take the words of the sages and understand them very liberally, right? So the exact words of the sages don't arrive at this conclusion. However, the Rambam, based on his worldview, is taking those statements of the sages and marshaling them toward his argument. And I think he has great respect for the sages. I just think he interprets them differently than you and I might. Number two is the Rambam was clearly, as I pointed out, influenced by the philosophy of his day, influenced by Aristotle and his interpreters. A lot of this is really Aristotelian in its nature. It's just why the Rambam was so controversial. He's making huge arguments here, based mostly, I would argue, on sages that are not within the Jewish canon. Now, the Rambam says, seek truth wherever you may find it. Seek truth, whether it comes from a quote-unquote Jewish source or not. He thinks this is true, so it doesn't matter to him that it doesn't necessarily come from a Jewish source. But when he quotes the Chokrim, those who investigate, you'll be hard-pressed to find too much of this in classical Jewish sources. A little bit of a Gemara here, a snippet of a Gemara there, a quote here, a little bit out of context, and that's what he's sort of, you know, using to make his argument. But yeah, let's take one more point from with Martin, and then I want to move on to some applications.
Rabbi Bergman.
One second. Martin raised his hand, then we'll take you, Andrew, and then we'll go on, okay?
Okay.
Martin, go for it. Martin? Raise his hand. I want to be a good teacher. I usually try to call the people who raise their hand, right? Go for it, Andrew.
Rabbi Bergman, I'm somewhat curious, but the interior dimensions of the ark in the tabernacle, it's yes. Approximately 4 cubits.
Approximately, not exactly.
No, it is because if you look at the exterior dimensions, the interior is approximately the volume is about 4 cubits. So symbolically, what this may make a reference to is that the tablets, the commandments inside of that ark, are the foundation stone. No pun intended.
Right.
From what we can source the ultimate knowledge from.
Beautiful.
And the rest of it becomes more of an elaboration. But if we can follow those main precepts.
In the tablets.
Yeah, on the tablets. And what they mean, you take it to whatever level you can derive from that.
Right. Beautiful. I like that. Beautiful. It's interesting. In fact, the Rambam, even himself, as maybe we'll see another time, believes that the first few commandments really speak to what he's arguing here. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem, your God. Lo yilachon lokim acherim. Do not have for yourself other gods. It's not simply saying just worship one God, was actually a demand on people to try to understand that it has to be. It's inconceivable otherwise that there would be one God, that there can't possibly be more than one creator, and the philosophical proof behind that. So, and those are certainly contained in those tablets that you speak of. So it's an interesting, there's certainly an interesting observation, although even according to your interpretation, which I greatly appreciate, I'm not sure you would arrive at the Rambam's conclusion here, right? Because there's 10 commandments, one of those is Shabbat, and there's a lot of other things too. But I think what you are arguing is that they might be much broader principles. But thank you. So at this point, I'd like to explore what I think are some of the ramifications of the Rambam's philosophy here that he points to in a more practical way. And then what I'd like to do is explore alternatives, because to me, not all of this, I think some of this is inspiring and some of this is a little more troublesome. And I think you'll see also the Rambam himself wasn't always so consistent, at least in terms of what he communicated to the simple people whom he describes as there as almost accessories to the more intelligent. So let's take a look at let's start here with this Rambam and Torah study. And let me ask you a question then, right? You know, we have, and I don't mean to say anything about Kiddush Club here. That's what my slide is titled, Can You Mix Torah with Kiddush Club? Other than the following, we have a certain tendency nowadays to sort of, you know, surround everything with food, right? We have all sorts of programs with a nice cholent or a kugel or, you know, some cake or chips and a nice l'chaim or herring, whatever it is. And then while you're doing that, we sort of, maybe we talk Torah, there's a shiur, there's a dvar Torah. It's all well and good. It's beautiful, right? Who can complain about a nice kiddush with also a nice shiur at the same time? And I ask you, and you can look at this slide or think to what we've learned previously. If you're the Rambam, do you think that enjoying a good piece of chocolate cake, right, with along with Divrei Torah, are those two compatible activities? Is that the sort of way we should learn Torah?
Nope.
No, why not?
Suffering is good.
Suffering is good. Yeah, it's kind of a... Now, we can spend a lot of time thinking about this. This is based on Perkei Avot. But what did the Rambam say before? The Rambam said that physical pleasure and the pursuit thereof is incompatible with wisdom to the degree that a person wants to enjoy themselves, wants to eat that piece of chocolate cake. And I'm as guilty of it as anyone else, I promise you. You know, so this is not something that I'm going to say is easy for me. But to the degree that a person is interested in physical pleasure and eating and drinking and all other physical pursuits, they cannot be described as wise. In fact, the purpose, I think the Rambam would argue, of the mitzvot is for us to regulate our actions, to regulate our emotions towards spirituality. And so it's not too surprising when the Rambam says as follows, and he's quoting a Mishnah of Ope, but I think it's consistent with his own philosophy. In Divrei Torah Mekaymin, B'misha Marpa Atzmolein. Essentially, this means the words of Torah will not reside in someone who's lazy in acquiring them. You know, if you're just sort of sitting there on your couch and you have your legs, you know, sort of pulled up on a recliner and you had the sefer in your hand relaxing, here's the Rambam, that's not going to last. It won't work. Why? V'lo be'elu shalom demitoch idun umitoch achila ushtia. And not in those who study in an environment of pleasure and in, from eating and drinking. Ela b'mi shememit atzmo alein. Only for someone who kills himself, literally translated over that. Not that you should actually kill yourself, but with an incredible, excessive strain and dedication and passion to the exclusion of all our pursuits, who mitzar gufa tummy, and who constantly causes their body pain. Lo yitin shena le'enav la'afa pav tenuma, and that a person should not let their eyes sleep and let their lids slumber. Amru chacham and derech remez, the wise men said as a hint, allegorically. Okay, it doesn't mean literally. The Rambam thinks you, and as we'll say, you should eat so that you are healthy enough to continue doing the things that you actually prioritize. But the rabbi said, Zot haTorah adam ki yamut ba'oel. This is the Torah. A person who dies in a tent, in a Torah mitkayemet ela b'misha mimitatzo ba'olei chachamim. Only the Torah can only reside in someone who kills himself in the tents of the sages. Absolute commitment, all your energy spent at the pursuit of wisdom. This is incredibly consistent with what the Rambam said. Physical pursuit and spiritual and intellectual pursuits are diametrically opposed. So I'm not making any comments other than I would say the Rambam would not be the biggest fan of Kiddush Club. I am just saying. That is slide number one, the Rambam.
Rabbi.
Okay, Paul.
But to run a state in your previous slide requires wisdom.
Yes.
You can't make the decisions to run a society and to run a state without wisdom. True. Who makes those decisions? You said before in your last slide that the Rambam said that those people have no wisdom. They're there only to run the state. People.
That's a good question. Let me be clear about that. I think what I mean by running a state is to have basic infrastructure, buildings, you know, bridges, roads.
That doesn't require wisdom.
I think it might require wisdom, maybe the person in charge of it, but the Rambam is arguing. You're making a good question. You're saying it's not very practical. I tend to agree with you. Not going to lie.
Is it's a different type of wisdom.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Rambam thinks that that wisdom is not the ultimate wisdom. Everybody still there? Am I losing people? Looks like I'm okay. I hope so. Maybe my connection's weak. I apologize. I think you're right, Paul. I think the Rambam would acknowledge. Again, the ironic part of this is that the Rambam himself was supported by his own brother who went out to business so that he could write the Yad HaChazakah. And the Rambam was very appreciative of his brother. Does the Rambam think that his brother was wasting his time? I imagine not. Does the Rambam think his brother wasn't wise? I imagine not. Yet the Rambam would tell you the wisdom necessary to run a business and, you know, be a merchant and sell your merchandise isn't the sort of wisdom that is the ultimate pursuit in this world. So I think you're right. And you could say it's not practical, and I still agree with you. You know, it's noteworthy that I think, I'm not an expert, but Aristotle thought that the world should be sort of governed by these philosopher kings, right? And they're the people who need to be in charge of the state. And the Rambam has a Hilchot Melachim, so I think the Rambam would argue the king should be one of these people, but he doesn't think that the sort of wisdom necessary, it's necessary, but it's a means to an end. That's what he's saying, it's a means to a greater end. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rabbi, wasn't the Rambam the master of moderation? Shouldn't he be moderate at all these matters? He's gone to extremes here.
Okay, so we'll have to learn. I'll have to learn Hilchot Deot and define moderation. What does moderation mean? But I think you'll see. Give me a bit. He'll get to sort of eating. He's not saying we should fast and starve. He's not saying that. It's hyperbole. He's saying you really have to go at it when you learn Torah. But you're right. He needs you to eat also. He says you can't learn if you're super hungry. He's going to say that also. So let's take a look at this, though.
Rabbi, can I just say one thing
here? Can I go a little further? Charlie, you know what? I want to get you back to you just a bit. I'll get back to you, I promise. Yeah, Tom, I just want to cover a few more of these ramifications. So now we have the chutzpahdik student and teacher, right? So there are such people. There are such people who are very smart or intelligent. They're sharp. They have a good, incisive wit. But they're not the best. They're one of the best mito. They don't have the best attributes. Maybe they're a wisecrack. They don't try so hard. They like to slack off. So is there room for such people in yeshiva? Do we welcome such people into the study hall itself? Now, you could say, of course you do. You know, you try to turn them on, you try to inspire them, you teach them as much as you can. Eventually, hopefully, they're inspired to learn more. Rambam doesn't say that. Take a look at what the Rambam says here. Ein milamdin Torah el l'taman hagun na'eh b'ma'asav. O l'tam. No instruction in the Torah should be given to any but a fit student of proper conduct, or to one indifferently known, someone who's simple. A person's walking a path which is not good. They're not keeping mitzvot. They don't have good midot. They're impatient. They're angry. They're not chutzpahdik. Says the Rambam, you don't teach them. Rather, you return them to the good. So you have to sit down with them and talk to them about priorities in life and try to convince them to change their ways. And direct them in a straight path. And then you check them. You make sure that they've really shaped up their act. Then you can let them into the study hall. But until they shape up, you keep him out. Keep him out of class. I don't have room, and it says the Rambam, in my classroom for people who are chutzpahdik or not immoral. Amr Chachamim says the sages. Anyone who teaches a student who is improper, kiluzarek ebon lamarkulis, it is as if he throws a stone upon mercury. Yeah, throwing a stone into like a big pile which has doesn't receive it at all. Markless is also an avodah zara. The way that you serve that avodah zara is by throwing stones to it. But the point is, it's worthless. Shenamar, Kitzror Evan Margema Kin Notin Lechsil Kavod. Q instructs an unfit disciple is likened unto one. As a small stone in a heap of stones, so is he that give honor to a fool. And Kavod la Torah, Shenamar Kavod Chacham Michalu. So if you're teaching someone who is, you know, an improper student, then you're honoring a fool, and that's inappropriate. V'chein, this goes both ways, though. Harav, Shino, Holy Dara Tova. Where there's a brilliant sage, and he has all sorts of knowledge, and he knows it all backwards and forwards, but he himself is immoral. He doesn't have moral conduct. He or she is not the best person, but they're brilliant. They get brilliant lectures, says the Rambam. Doesn't matter. Even if such a person is a great, wise sage, the whole nation needs them. We don't learn from such a person until they repent and return to the proper path. Shenemar, and this is a pasuk from Malachi. Those who listen to my Malachi Shir may recognize this. Kisite Kohen Yishmeridat V'Tori Yavakshu Mipiyu Ki Malach Hashem Tzvako Too. For the lips of a Kohen guard knowledge, and you shall seek Torah from his mouth, for he is an angel of God. Amru Chachamim, said the sages in Marav, Doma L'Malach Hashem Tzvakot. If the teacher is comparable to an angel of God in his conduct, Tori Yavakshim Mipiyu, then you shall seek Torah from his mouth. Imlav not. Don't seek Torah from his mouth. So the Rambam is telling us that you cannot get into the study hall or be the teacher in the study hall unless you have appropriate moral conduct. What does this harken back to the Red and the Rambam? Didn't the Rambam say that you need to be complete in wisdom and deed? Didn't the Rambam say that you cannot be called wise if your actions are not immoral? Are immoral if they are not directed toward the end of achieving wisdom. So it could be you know a lot, but you're not truly wise. And therefore, says the Rambam, until a person does get on the right path, we are not ready to teach them. So that's another interesting ramification here. Let me go for a few more, and then I'll take your points. This gets to the point that I think Martin raised before, and this is something I think also that flows very beautifully from what the Rambam said. Hilchot Deo, where the Rambam talks about general character traits and dispositions. The Rambam here talks about a very inspiring concept called B'chol Drachecha De'ehu, that we shall know him in all of our ways, him being God. And therefore the Rambam says, Sara Sheyia Adam Yechavin Liba B'chol Ma'asav Kulam, a person should direct his heart and all his actions toward what end? Leida, to know, et Hashem Baruch Hu B'levad, only to know God. His sitting and rising and speak should all be directed toward this end. When you go to work, one's mindset should not be solely to accumulate money. You should do these sorts of things, engage in business, go to work, in order to find those things which the body needs. From eating and drinking and building a house and marrying. When a person eats and drinks and has intercourse, they shouldn't have in mind to do these things. Only in order to benefit, to derive pleasure. Such that they only engage in eating and drinking and intercourse to eat that which is sweet to the palate and try to derive sexual pleasure. They should only eat and drink in order to make sure that their body and their limbs are healthy. Lefika, says the Rambam, no more chocolate chip cookies. No more potato chips. Lo yochal kol shachich mitaveh. Don't just eat everything that the palate desires. Kekele v'chamor, like a dog or a donkey. And like yochad var hamoil magaf, eat those things that help the body. Imareh mimatzipim, whether they're sweet or bitter. Do not eat those things which are bad for the body, even if they are sweet. And this is also very consistent. The Rambam says the entire purpose of the world is to achieve this knowledge of God, and that perfection indeed means to direct all of our actions toward achieving that end. Therefore, all of our actions, the eating, the drinking, our marital relations, our work, our occupation should all be directed toward that end, which means that when we do them, we have to have that end in mind. Now, that's all well and good, because that's pretty inspiring, isn't it? I think it's great. You can, he says, you could go to sleep and do a mitzvah. Rambam says later on, I give you the whole quote, if you go to sleep and you have in mind, I'm going to sleep so that tomorrow I can engage in the service of God and trying to pursue his knowledge, then you're getting a mitzvah while you're sleeping. Unbelievable. Another point I wanted to make here, just, and this I think also relates to Martin's point. Isn't this a bit extreme? No, I think it is a bit extreme. First of all, you're right. It is a bit extreme, frankly. But the Rambam does sort of hold back a little bit when talking to people. Here I have a quote from you from Professor Moshe Halbertal's book, where he has a translation of a letter the Rambam writes to Ovadia Hager. Ovadia Hager, Avadja the convert, was a big admirer of the Rambam. And he complains to the Rambam that, listen, you know, people are making fun of me because, look, I converted and I don't know that much. I'm trying my best, but there's only so much I can understand. My mastery of Hebrew ain't great. And there was someone making fun of him and calling me a fool. And so what do I do, Rambam? And he says, that's ridiculous. And he called you a fool is indeed strange. You, a man who leaves his father, his homeland, his nation, and their outstretched hand, achieving understanding with his own heart and cleaving to this nation. Consider today a nation despised, right? The Jews are downtrodden, the servant of rulers. And knowing that religion is religion of truth and righteousness, coming to know Israel's ways and knowing that all religions are stolen from its religion, recognizing all, knowing and pursuing God, traversing the holy path and coming under the wings of God's presence, following Moses, our teacher, and teacher of all the prophets, and desiring his commandments, a man whose heart raised him to be close to God, to be illuminated by the light of life, and to ascend to the heights of the angels, and rejoice with the joy of the righteous, and who cast concerns of this world from his heart, turning away from emptiness and falsehood? Falsehood? Can such a person be called a fool? Heaven forbid! Not fool did God name you, but wise man, understanding and right thinking logically, a student of Abraham, our father, who left his parents and his homeland and turned toward God. So here the Rambam is very compassionate. Again, I don't have the whole letter here for you, but what Ravaja is saying is, look, I'm trying my best and people are calling me foolish. The Rambam says, don't listen to them. The very fact that you made this choice to choose the path of truth indicates in and of itself that you're a wise man. Even if you haven't acquired all the wisdom in the world. So is this consistent with what the Rambam was saying before? Is he simply being sensitive and sympathetic? Interesting. I'm not sure. You know, maybe there was a different side to the Rambam when he wrote just sort of generally than when he actually addressed human beings. But all of this, I think, is sort of understandable. Here we get to maybe one of the most controversial things that the Rambam says. And then this is not the sort of Rambam that they learn in the yeshivas. Let me say it that way. So the Rambam at the very beginning of his Mishnah Torah, okay? This is the first book in the Yad HaChazakah, dedicates his time to two general subjects. One is the knowledge of God itself, the philosophy he brings, a proof for the oneness of God, how God is completely one, how he has no body, he doesn't have any sort of physical experiences or emotions, he's one in all senses of the world, he's not divisible from his knowledge or from his experiences. And he proves this from Sukkim, and therefore every time in the Torah when it describes God's body, it's meant to be taken metaphorically and not literally. That's chapter one is about God. That's topic one's about God. Topic two is about the world. Topic two is about the world because the Rambam says one way to come to love of God, and we'll study this later, is to study the world and to study how the world works. And the Rambam then goes and tells you his version of physics and metaphysics. You know that in his mind, everything was comprised of four different elements, and that everything is comprised of body and soul. and how and the sort of structure of the world and the spheres and the planets and the stars and the angels and the different types of angels. This is what the Rambam describes in the first four chapters of the Mora. You can read some of it. It's available online. We're not going to go through the whole thing. But here is the kicker. Now the Rambam sort of sums up the point of his agenda here in the four chapters. He says, in Yanei Arba Prakim Ilu, Shebechamesha Mitzvot Ilu, these four chapters regarding these five mitzvot. Heim Shechachamar Rishon Karin Oto Pardes. This is what the sages called Pardes. This is a discussion in and of itself. There's a Gemara in the Chagiga, which describes four sages that enter the Pardes, that enter the orchard. Classically understood, this means some sort of metaphysical experience whereby these four sages went into the heavenly realm. The Rambam understands this Gemara to refer to philosophical speculation, and what they were doing was sitting there and thinking about God. That's what they were doing. And he says, that's what I'm trying to give you over that sort of wisdom here. And he says, Ba'afa Pishak Dola Yisrael Hayu, even though they were great sages. Ba'chacham Dola Hayu, Lo Kuyam Haya Ben Koach Leida Lahase Kolad Dvaram Al-Baryan. They couldn't all understand this philosophy that I'm teaching you. And says the Rambam now, therefore, Ani Omer, She'ein Ra'oy L'tayel B'Pardes El Mishin Et Malo Kreiso, Lechem Basar, famous parable of the Rambam. The only person who should take a walk in the orchard, meaning engage in the sort of philosophical speculation that I am describing, is someone who's filled their stomach with bread and meat. What does that mean? Lechem Basar, what do I mean by bread and meat? To know that which is permissible and that which is forbidding. To know what can I do on Shabbat, what can I not. To know what should I pray, how should I not pray. What bracha do I make, what can I eat, what can I not eat. That's the bread and meat that you have to fill yourself up with before engaging in this sort of deeper wisdom that deals with God himself. Why? Now, you could say, well, the reason for that is because, look, come on, we're Jewish here, right? What do you think is more important, to study physics and metaphysics and speculate about the oneness of God, or to learn Gemara, to learn Halacha, to learn Navi, to learn what does God want from me practically? But listen to what the Rambam says here. Even though the Chachamim call these things, i.e. Halacha, a small matter. Sorry, Amru Chachamim Davar Gadol Maaseh Merkava V'Davar Katan Havayo T'Havaye V'Rava. The sages said, what is a Davar Gadol? What is a great matter? Maaseh Merkava, the matter of the divine chariot. For the Rambam, the matter of the divine chariot is not sort of studying that chapter in Yechezkel which describes God and his chariot, or it's not mystical. It means philosophical speculation, the proofs about God's oneness and his incorporeality. So that's the great matter. V'davar katan habayot d'abayi v'rava. And a small matter is a discussion of Abayi and Rava. Abayi and Rava are two of the most frequently quoted sages in the Talmud. That's a small matter. Says the Rambam, you might say you should spend all your time on the big stuff, the big questions. How can I prove God and understand God? Says the Rambam, v'pikein, ru'ihin lahak di man. You should study halacha first. Why? And here's the key. Shei mishyashbin daito shel adam techila. They settle a person's mind first. Or and also, shema tova hagdola, they are the great good. That God influenced in this world, for the settlement of this world, in order that one merits the next world. A lot of ink has been spilled over what the Rambam means here. That God has given us mitzvot liyishuv ha'olam hazeh, so that this world can be yishuv, can be settled.
it almost sounds like the purpose of the mitzvot is so that we can have a moral and decent society, which will then enable us to pursue the sort of intellectual truth the Rambam wants us to. The Efshar, and he says, everybody can understand what is permissible, what's not permissible. Everybody can understand halacha. That's why the Rambam wrote his book, to make it accessible to everyone. So Rambam says, spend time on that first. And I leave you to think about, within the Rambam's hierarchy, what is the more central study? What's quote-unquote more important? What is the ultimate goal? The Rambam tells us three reasons we begin with Havaya Rabbaya Darava. We begin by studying the Halakha and the Talmud. One, because they help settle our minds, train us how to think. Two, because they are the good that God has granted to the settlement of society in this world, so we can earn the next world. And three, because everyone can understand them, whereas these other matters cannot be understood by all. It is certainly an interesting question to ask. What's the hierarchy here? So that's the Rambam's perspective that I think he very elaborately and eloquently delineates here in this piece. Although I think there are certain parts I find very inspiring, certain parts that I find more troublesome. Because ultimately, are you really going to tell me that someone who's pious and keeps mitzvot and has great midot and good attributes and is modest and has self-control and patient and calm and speaks to everyone nicely, but doesn't fully understand the proofs of God and the oneness of God in the way that the Rambam is describing? Someone who just has a general sort of perception of the fact that there's a being that created the universe that I'm serving, without getting into the ins and outs of, you know, how that creator, you know, the nature of God and corporeality, risen corporeality and oneness and unity. Someone who doesn't understand all those things is less than really. It's bothersome. So what I want to do now is present to you two other sorts of philosophies, just as a contrast. And with that, we'll end, and I'll take whatever questions you may have, and we'll set the stage for next week. I think you'll find it interesting. First, I have a pretty well-known Rebbe, Moshe Chaim Lutzato. Moshe Chaim Lutzato was a very well-known scholar and rabbi in Italy in the 16th and 17th centuries. He ended up making it to Amsterdam, and he wrote a very well-known work called Masilat Yesharim. In the Masilat Yesharim, the Paths of the Just, in his first chapter, he also describes, like the Rambam does here, the purpose of our life in this world. And he has, on the one hand, a similar requirement of a focus, a directedness toward everything that we do, but the goal is much different. What is perfection, says Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, ukish sestaka bedavar tereh, ki ashlemot ha'amiti, who rock had vikut bo yitbarach. Says Mesila Yesharim, true perfection is just connection to God. That is true perfection, and that is all true perfection entails. Mehu Masha Yedavad HaMelech Chomeretz, but Yedavad HaMelech said, Ani kirvat lo kimri tov. Closeness to God is good for me. Omer, achat sha'alti me'et Hashem mutav, akei shittu ved Hashem kol yimei chayai. There is one request I make of God, and that is to dwell in the house of God all my life. Kirak zehu atov, b'chol zulat zesh yashivu b'nei adam atov, eno ela hevel v'shav nita. Everything else that a person thinks of as good, aside from connection to God, is futility and emptiness. Amna. L'chesha yisgar on tov azot. How does a person achieve this good? How do I get this purpose of life? How do I have this connection? Is it by thinking about the ultimate truth and philosophical speculation? I don't think so. Says Masilat Yesharim, Roi Shiyamol Mishona Vyishtadel Biyegia Liknota. First, a person needs to toil in acquiring it. Behainu Shiyishtadel Lidavik Bo Yidbara Bekoach Ma'asim Shetolat and Zeha Enyon. And that is to try to cleave to God through the force of those actions which bring about this connection, the heim heim ha mitzvot, doing the mitzvot. That's what gives you the connection. The emphasis is not on the wisdom and understanding and intellectual perception of truth, but rather on doing the mitzvot so that you can achieve perfection. And he describes here that God put us in a battlefield. And there's a battle between the moral and the physical and material self versus the spiritual soul. And that to the degree that a person is weighed down by temptation, sort of like the Rambam says, they distance themselves from God, but not from wisdom, from God. And everything is a test, says Masil Yesharim. You can read it. It's in the first chapter. Here's what I'll focus on. He says, how do I succeed? Take a look at the bottom of the slide. According to the measure, asher kavashet yitzro, that a person conquers their inclination, v'taybo tav, and their temptation, v'nit rachik v'narchikim oto ma'atov v'nishadah l'davik bo, and a person distances themselves from those things that distance one from God, and instead tries to cleave to the good that God presents them with, so too will a person enjoy that good in the next world. For the Masil Yesharim, achievement is not based on anything other than passing tests, then conquering one's temptation, conquering one's Yetzer Hara, and choosing spirituality over physicality. So on the one hand, it's all about directed toward one goal, but that goal isn't wisdom. That goal is connection to God through keeping the mitzvot and distancing oneself from physical temptation. That's one totally different perspective from the Rambam. But I wouldn't say it's diametrically opposed. It's just a different emphasis, a different orientation. And then we have Rav Nachman of Breslov. If you heard of Rav Nachman of Breslov, Rav Nachman of Breslov was a Hasidic master in the 18th and 19th centuries. He's a very well-known Breslov Hasidus. And I would say he is the antithesis of the Rambam. And he calls out the Rambam here. He says, Ikara tachlit v'ashleimot hu rak la'avod Hashem v'tzmimut gamor. The main goal and perfection is just to serve God in absolute simplicity. V'lishom chachmo klal. Without any sort of wisdom. Don't ask so many questions. Just be simple. Do what Hashem wants. And he says, Ki yesh mechakrim v'omrim, there are those who philosophize and say, I wonder who he's thinking about. Sheikara tachnis, v'alom abo rakodak kol davar kamochehu. The purpose of life in this world and next is just to know things as they are. Gon le'dah kochav kamochehu le'dah mo'uto. V'ma'o mi'b'mako mahu. To know the stars and why they are there. And he makes this interesting equation we're not going to get into now, that there is our minds sort of unite with the knowledge that they contain. And if we contain the knowledge of God, then when you're uniting with God, et cetera, and he says, it's all a bunch of nonsense. They spend all their time trying to understand this intellectual knowledge. That's the goal by them. That is the next world. The next world is just intellectual perception of truth and an understanding of God. That's all there is. The problem is that in this world we can't enjoy it so much because we have a body. Some people think the ultimate Olam Haba is just enjoying the knowledge of God that you accumulate in this world, which is what the Rambam says explicitly in Yisodei Torah. He says, "Odaytem arad to their evil opinion." That the main purpose of life is through investigation in this external wisdom. That's not Torah. Craziness. He's not going to name the Rambam because he's not going to take on a giant like the Rambam. But that's who he's referring to. And they're wrong. The Rambam's wrong. That only a few people get the actual proof purpose of the world. And he's not buying what the Rambam's selling. He's not buying that. You're right. Only a few people achieve this world's purpose, and everybody else is there for them. That's ridiculous. What about those who are simple and can engage in this in intellectual speculation? How are they going to achieve this? It's the main purpose of the world is just through simplicity. Simple. Fearing God and doing the active mitzvot with complete simplicity. Vizehu, sof davar kol nishma, that pasuk from Kohelet. At the end of the matter, this is what, when everything's heard, at Elokim Yirav et Moshav Shemor Kizel Kol Adam, keep the mitzvot, fear God, that is all of humanity. Hainu Shlomo Amalchav HaShalom Melamin Otanu. Shlomo teaches us, Shi Iker HaSagat HaTachan, the way to achieve our purpose is, Shu Bechinat Sof Tavar, that's the end of the matter. Hu Rak Ayadei Tmi Modu Pshitut. It's through simplicity and loyalty. L'Yirat Hashem, L'Chmor Mitzvot Savib Pshitut. To straightforwardly fear God and keep mitzvot. Says the Nachman of Breslov, the Rambam has got it all wrong. It's all wrong. It is not about intellectual pursuit of philosophical speculation. Fear God, keep the mitzvot. That's why we're here. So we have a number of different perspectives. Let me leave you with the following question. I know I'm a bit over time. I apologize for the next week. We have Hanukkah coming up in the near future. And what is Hanukkah all about? Hanukkah is about the victory over the Greeks. Now, the Greeks brought a lot of wisdom into this world. A lot of the science and philosophy we have is from the Greeks. The Rambam is enthralled with Aristotle. So how is the Rambam going to interpret this miracle of Hanukkah? And based on the Rambam's perspective, how are we to understand the victory of the Hasmoneans over the Greeks? How are we to encounter this notion of wisdom if on the one hand it seems to be impure, but on the other hand the Rambam's saying we should celebrate it? So that's something I want to sort of investigate in the next few weeks. Thank you all so much for joining. Always a pleasure to learn with you, and I'm happy to stay for a few questions. Have a wonderful night.